Happy Easter morning. You know, in years gone by, I just thought about this. I didn't think about this before, but we, in the church that I'm going to say that Sue and I grew up in, on Easter, not always, but a number of Easters, they would have a sunrise service, and we'd get there like at 6 in the morning or whatever, and we'd have a breakfast, and then we'd have a little service, just talk about the women coming to see the tomb that morning, and that he was not there, and met by the gardener and the angels. And anyway, I was just remembering that, thinking about that. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm just so thankful. When we were praying over there and Sue said, I don't know what she said exactly, but something to the effect of she prayed, thank you for what this season represents. We want to thank you that there is an Easter. We want to thank you that you did get up from the dead. We want to thank you that we're on this side of the cross looking back at what you did instead of on the other side of the cross looking forward to what you're going to do, looking through a glass darkly. But now we can look back and see you, God in the flesh, on the cross in our place. And then you said, be of good cheer. You can't keep a good man down. And you got up from the dead and you gave us hope. You gave us forgiveness. You gave us your love. You give us these things, Lord. And we just are so thankful for what Easter means. Lord, today, may we think on, honor you with our thoughts, with our hearts, with our choices. May we share your resurrection with others. Thank you for bringing Anita back. Please bless her. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to share a thought with you of something that was brought to my mind this week. When I was a kid, somewhere between the 6th and the 9th grade, because I can remember the house I lived in, one day I walked about 3 blocks to go get a Coke or slushy or whatever it was, a candy bar, I don't remember. But I remember I must have walked down there, maybe I rode my bike. And I got there, and the convenience store was closed. And that was really strange to me. And then I didn't understand what that was about. And then I went across the street, and the gas station was closed. And it was the middle of the day. And I couldn't figure out what that was. Now, let's see, Lord, where would that be? From 12 to 3. So let's see if we can look up 12. Well, maybe it doesn't say that. Maybe it says noon.
Are you talking in scripture?
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. So that would have been the 6th. That would have been the 6th to the 9th hour. So let's do 9th. Let's see. Matthew 27:45. Let's just look at that for a second. Jesus is on the cross. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was darkness. Jesus is on the cross, and there's darkness from noon. Their day started at 6 a.m. So when they say it was the third hour of the day, that's 9 a.m. When they say it was the 6 hours of the day, that was noon, ninth hour, 3 p.m. So from noon to 3, Jesus on the cross, he's in darkness. Have you ever been in darkness spiritually? Have you ever been in darkness? Have you ever felt like you're trying to do what God wants and everything seems dark? You don't understand things. I mean, there's my little grandson, 11 years old, raising his hand. Grown-ups, adults. Have you ever been in darkness? Well, here's Jesus, perfect God, never sinned, on the cross for you and me. He's been misunderstood. He's been misrepresented. He's been maligned, or people have slandered him, falsely accusing him. They've mocked him. Now they've put nails. I'm just thinking of nails, like spikes, like of that painting, into his hands and into his feet, nailed him to a cross and hung him up. And he's there for 3 hours in darkness. We go through stuff and we don't understand why we're going through it. We go through things. We don't understand what God's doing. We put expectation in people. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Why didn't they come visit me? Why didn't they call me? Why did they say those words? Why did they give me those looks? God, why is this going on in my life? I'm trying to do right. Why is everything against me? Where are you? Why aren't you answering me? You ever gone through any of that? A few adults this time, Jackson. Jesus himself, you know, over in, I think it's Hebrews 4:15, it says, he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands what we're going through. Jesus understands that darkness, because he was hanging on the cross in darkness. And then he said, he didn't say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why? Because he was at that time taking our place. So he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did say it for himself, but he was saying it for us. So that we would ask ourselves, why did he say that? Do you know that Jesus was separated from the Father because of our sin? Yes. Our sin separates us from God, does it not? Yes. Jesus said, give me Harvey's sin. And the Father said, you won't like it. And Jesus said, I know. He said, it's going to kill you, son. He said, I know, but I don't want it to kill Harvey. He said, but it's going to separate us from one another. And Jesus is like, we have been eternally together, and now we're going to be separated because of Harvey's sin? Do you understand? Jesus is in darkness. He was alone. Nobody understood. They all left him, all his friends, all the, "I'll never leave you," big old flaring words. We boast all these words. He's just looking for simple obedience, just walking in the light he's given us, just faithful, just read your Bible, let him talk to you every day, talk to him about everything, be in church when the doors open. His house, not mine. It's not about me. We're not going to have this building by the end of the month. It's not about that. I can have church without you. I have church without you every day. Everywhere I go. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. So as I was a little boy, between 6th and 9th grade, whatever age I was, and I go to the store, and I can't get a Coke. And I couldn't figure out why. I went to church a lot of my life, but I didn't know Jesus till I was 20 years old. So I didn't understand. It was all just head knowledge. It was all just stories they told me. It didn't impact my life. It didn't affect me. It didn't affect my choices. I didn't understand the things of God at all. But the reason that the store wasn't open that day was because it was Good Friday. What we call Good Friday. And when I was a kid, the stores didn't open. They closed from noon to 3 out of respect for Jesus being on the cross in his hour of darkness. I'm talking about all the stores closed in the middle of the day on Good Friday from 12 to 3. Out of respect. So when it hit me on Friday, it was getting close to noon, and that thought kept coming to my mind. And so I started meditating on it. Meditating on what it must have been like for Jesus being on the cross. Have you ever felt all alone? Have you ever felt like nobody understands? Have you ever felt like nobody cares? Little Ed raised his hand. I like it. I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus. There has never been a friend as kind as he. No one ever cared for me. You know why the birds hum? Because they don't know the words. Like Jesus, there has never been a friend as kind as he. There's no one else could take this pain and darkness from me. No one ever cared for me. Jesus, that's the truth. We would not care for one another if it wasn't for God. Every person on the planet is selfish. Every one of us. Us boys, we're called son. We think the world revolves around us. Did I make this up? Okay. And then we put expectation on other people, especially if they say they love God or something. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't they do that? Why did they do this? Jesus on the cross. He spends all this time with the disciples, and Peter, the soldiers come to take him, and Peter takes a sword and cuts off one of the servant's ears, and Jesus is like, dude, you've been with me. Don't you get what I'm about? I'm not about cutting people's ears off and swords, and I'm not about wah! And putting a kung fu in their tutu, you know? He said, don't you get what I'm about? So he picked up the ear and dust off and stuck it back on the guy's head. And his close disciples did not understand, so they left. They left him. He's taken away by soldiers. He's taken away by soldiers. He's taken to a secret court. He's taken to two. He's found guilty. People are lying about him. Now here's Jesus, Christ, Jesus the Christ, going around loving on people, healing on people, raising the dead, being intimately compassionate. And they're making up things about him. They're dragging him all around, and he's all alone. He's all alone. He's all alone. Everybody in here has been in a place where you're all alone, because every single day when you get away from everybody else, when you turn the TV off, when you turn the radio off, and you're laying there, maybe it's that's what you have to do. That's because until then. See, a lot of people are afraid to be alone, so they keep noise going all the time. I go to some people, get around them, and I'm like, if you don't turn that off, I can't be here. I was somewhere the other day, and oh, I know where I was. We moved Tim to a new house, and they had this TV going with, I don't know what those things are called, where people yell at each other on some talk show or something. Whatever, I don't know what all that. I'm like, I was about ready to leave. I can't think. It's like, I can't live with that. And the lady got up and turned off. I said, thank you. I just was waiting for you to do that. You know, I can't stand all that noise. Sue and I like quiet. We like to have a lot of quiet. Matter of fact, when our little magpie grandkids over there are at our house and we're watching a movie, if they talk, I hit the pause button. And I say, are you done? It's okay. I'm just going to wait because I want to hear the movie, not magpies, you know. And when they're done, then we go and watch the movie. So if you ever come to my house, we'll watch the movie. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to talk during the movie. Jesus is all alone. He had thoughts to deal with. Do you have thoughts to deal with? They're hard, aren't they? What do you think it was like for Jesus on the cross? He was 100% man. He wasn't doing everything he did as God. Do-do-do-do, wearing a big G on his chest. Do-do-do-do, I'm going through this. You know, oh, this is a breeze. He was 100% man. He had to deal with all the doubts and fears and confusions and misunderstandings coming at him that you and I have to deal with. Let me give you some verses that I'm going through right now. I was like, Lord, it took me most of the morning to deal with me, to get me where I needed to be. And and then I said, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to talk in Sunday school? Is there something you want to say? He said, yeah, share with them what you need, what you're going through. I go, okay. Because it's what Jesus went through. We say we want to be like Jesus. Please listen to this verse. Yay. That word means yes. Yay. All that will live godly or like God. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, how do you explain that away and put it on national TV and make it all sound like everything's wonderful? How do you do that? Do you understand? You want to be like Jesus. You are precious people. You keep going through things that God wants you to go through because you know down in your belly it's God. And you need God. And North American shallow Christianity won't meet your need. And you won't stand when the trials come, when the tests come, when the winds blow. You fall. So you've been realizing, I need these deep roots. But you have to go through stuff to be like Jesus. So watch. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. These are verses. You know how I titled this? My verses for this season. I wrote them down for me. I didn't know I was going to share them with you. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Do you know what's amazing? I noticed this morning, just a little thing, the Holy Spirit just showed me. Romans 3:4 says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And then you turn the numbers around, 4:3, Romans 4:3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We want to believe people. People lie. God tells the truth. But we want to liken God to people and think that God lies. We want to believe people instead of God. That is one of the biggest things, by the way. I wasn't even going to say this. I didn't even know I was going to say any of this, by the way. I got to do something different. One of the biggest things is, are we going to believe God or man? Are we going to believe God or man? Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Job 13:15. Though God slay me, I feel like I'm going to die. Though God slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I will maintain that I'm not a hypocrite. I am his friend. I'm going to be a friend of God, even though he slay me. Job 13:15. Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The problem we have with that verse is the first two words. Be still. Be still, he says, and know that I am God. I know they killed me. He said, but 3 days from now, I'm getting up. They didn't understand that. He had told them a number of times, had he not? But they didn't understand that. They went and they hid. They went and they moped. They went and they gathered together in a room. They didn't understand. They were ashamed at how they had responded in his hour of need. That's why I want to be a inner court minister and minister to the heart of God. God, what are you going through? Do you know every day he gets rejected? Every day he gets accused? Every day he gets misunderstood. So I ask him periodically, how you doing today, God? Are you okay? Somebody hurting you? I just want to minister to you. I care about you, Father. I'm sorry that you're misunderstood. I'm sorry that people doubt you. I'm sorry that people suspect you of lying or not caring. Father, I love you. You're the best person I've ever met. You were always faithful. You were always good. You define good. You are God. Psalm 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. He said, watch what I will do. He said, I will be exalted. He said, right now, it looks like everything's going against God. Sue read me yesterday or the day before. She says, you know, NBC News says that within 2 years, within 3 years, every person in America is going to have a computer chip within them for ID. And I thought, I don't think I will, but I have no idea what's coming. I have no idea what all this is about. But that's NBC News, not just some flaky person. NBC News saying that. We could look at all the circumstances, get all whatever, but Jesus got up from the dead. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is still alive. He didn't get up from the dead and then live another 50 years and die. He's still alive. He's in charge. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. He's going to be lifted up. And you and I are going to be carriers of the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to be carriers of the glory of God. We're going to be carriers of the life of Jesus and take the life of Jesus to other people. But it's not going to be all that's all drive nice cars and have diamond rings. And it's going to be heavy-duty stuff's coming. I just got a, what's that thing called, an email from Jay Sekulow, which is American Liberty for Jews for Jesus or something. I don't remember. ALCJ or something. I don't remember. What? No. No. Not ALCU. That's Antichrist. Okay. And he said they went into Kenya. I was just in Kenya 2 years ago. They went into Kenya, this group like ISIS. There's another group. I don't even know what the name of them is. I don't remember. But they're as bad as ISIS. And they went in to this town, and they took captive the town. And they said, I guess they went into the schools or whatever, and they said, are you a Christian or a Muslim? And the ones that said they were Christian, they slaughtered 140 of them. Children. In the schools. 140. It wasn't like, we're putting you in jail, we're going to, you know, torture you, we're going to, are you a Christian? Oh, we're going to kill you. Folks, this is happening today. And it's going to happen in America. And we are going to be carriers of the Lord Jesus. We are going to tell others and give them hope. Now you say, wait a minute. They're going to kill me. Do you know you're going to heaven? I try to help you to make sure you know you're going. Not hope so, think so, try, do your best. I try to bring you to a place of knowing the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. If you're not 100% sure, if you died right now, you'd immediately go to be with God in heaven. But then come see my wife or I, please. Because I'd like to help you get to know it, not hope it or feel it. You're not always going to feel it. I don't always feel married. But I'm married. Doesn't matter what I feel. Do you understand? Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Isaiah 64:4. Isaiah 64:4. One more time. Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eyeball seen, O God, beside thee, what he, God, has prepared for him, me, that waiteth for him, God. This is a verse he gave to me, and I'm waiting on God. There's another one in Isaiah 49:23, and it says, none of them that wait for him shall be ashamed. None of them that wait for him shall be ashamed. Are you willing to wait on God? Or are you going to be like most people and follow the flashy? Whatever the world holds up, the devil holds up and says it's flashy. Here, don't you want this? Don't you want this? What makes you feel good? Don't you want this? Be entertained? Don't you want this? But see, I think you want truth. And what I'm saying to you is, we wait on God. God has big things for us. But what if you never enter into big things and somebody simply comes and says, they gather all the employees of Speedway together and say, okay, any of you Christians? Yep. Take you in the other room. Kill you. If that's what God has for you, are you willing to be faithful to him? Are you willing to keep your focus on him? Are you willing to not deny him? Do you believe in him? Though he slay me. It's not that God killed you, but maybe he allowed somebody to kill you. There was 140 within the last few days that they made that choice. No, I'm a Christian. We're going to kill you. Okay, but I'm still a Christian. I still trust God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'm not denying him. I'm not taking the convenient route. My focus is on him. He's my Savior. I'm not denying him. He didn't deny me. He didn't say, I'll die for everybody, but not for Glenn. He said, I'm dying for everybody, even those that reject me. What'd you say? Ever since I met Jesus, it's like I've known, I met him, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. It really messed with me when my pastor said, I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to go on the next boatload. And I thought, I don't get that. I do. Ever since I met him, I can't wait to go to heaven. I'm so excited about it. It is real. It's my home forever. I get to see him face to face. Dude, I don't want to go on. What does this world hold that, what attraction does it have that compares? I'm just asking you. We were in Isaiah 64:4. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verses 2 through 4. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Jesus, I want you to write the vision. What's the vision? Well, I was born to die for the sins of the world. But 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. He said, write it down. He said, because everything's going to look against you. Everything's going to look like it's coming to an end. People aren't going to respond like you think. You're going to go around and impact the world in such an awesome way, and they're not going to follow through. They're going to deny you. They're going to go back. You know, they got a warm fuzzy, but now they're going to go back to whatever. So write it down. And it will come. What you wrote down, what's the vision? You're going to be raised, you're going to be worshiped forever. But it ain't going to look like that when you're going through it. But write it down so you can run. In other words, so you can have confidence in me, confidence in the truth. You can stand up no matter what's coming. You can look at it in the face and say, but I know the end. You may think you won, but I know the end. It may look dark, but I know the end. Because God is true. And I choose to trust in Him. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. 1038. Romans, I couldn't see. I forgot it was on here, though. It was like this big, you know, real tiny. About that big, Ed. Right there. Chapter 4, start with verse 19 through 21. And talking about Abraham. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And being not weak in faith, Harvey considered not his own body now dead, though he was getting old and having a hard time getting around in it. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I want you to notice in verse 19 a little phrase. He considered not his own body now dead. Abraham is almost 100 years old. God had told him, I'm going to give you a son. He's been waiting 25 years. He tried to do it his own way. That didn't work. That just caused more problems, multitude of problems. That's why we have Muslims today. And Abraham is almost 100 years old, and it says, he considered not his own body now dead. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. What did he think about? What I'm saying to you is, Abraham did not enter into doubt. He didn't enter into confusion. He didn't enter into unbelief. He said, God is true. It doesn't matter if I'm about 100 years old. It doesn't matter if my wife's 89 years old and she's supposed to have a baby. It doesn't matter. I know women don't do that, but it don't matter. God said it. I believe it. He considered not. He didn't focus on the circumstances. He chose to believe God's word. Do you understand how important it is to read the word of God? Do you understand how important it is to memorize, to meditate, to think about, to hold on to step onto, to put your faith on the word of God? Because when you do that, when God says something, the world, the devil, the flesh is going to try to tell you everything else. But look at this. But everybody is. And nobody wants to hear. And everything seems to be going against you. You can't do that. It's like whenever you talk to somebody first about tithing. And they go, I couldn't afford to do that. I'm like, that's what we all think in the beginning. It don't make sense. But are you living according to your head, or you got to follow the Word of God? It's like that simple. It's just faith. Forsaking all else, I trust Him. January 3rd, 1914. January 3rd, 2014. God says to me, stand in this present darkness. Revelation will come. This darkness is purple, not black. Come. God said to me, to go through the pencil hole vision in front of you, He said, Harvey, I must reduce you first. You're still too big. It's a process. You will enter in. Trust me in the darkness. Remember, it is of deepest purple, which means my passion and purpose for your life. It's not blackness. He said, it is a created darkness with great purpose. And I've got verses about that. He said, I must reduce you, Harvey. You're still too big. To become like Jesus, to care about others, please hear this, to become like Jesus, to care about others, and to live in such a way that God can easily flow through us to minister to others, to meet the needs of others, then our wants, feelings, our opinions and rights have to be out of the way. Otherwise, there's a restriction of letting God's pure and selfless love live and flow through us toward others. We have to go through what we're going through to get where God wants to take us. Here's my hand. I want to be like Jesus. Whatever it takes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this group that you have surrounded us with. I thank you for being privileged to walk with them in this journey of Jesus by faith. Amen.